But first, I want to go through the failure of 20th century intelligence. All right, I want you guys to have a context for having an intelligent dialogue. Not that you're unintelligent, but bear with me. The bottom line here is that America is an industrial era country. We have an industrial era educational system. We have an industrial era media system with barons. We have an industrial era Congress, which is completely ineffective at processing information. And we have an industrial era intelligence community. Now, a very quick history of intelligence. The original concept for intelligence was as secret wars between governments. Okay, so for centuries, that's been the primary focus of intelligence. How can we screw another government secretly? Okay, then Sherman Kent, after World War II and as part of the OSS, it took me 3 weeks to figure out open source solutions. I had the OS, but being a Marine, it took me 3 weeks to figure out the third word. But originally, the OSS was conceptualized as a global open source intelligence organization that would use predominantly academics to do strategic intelligence based on open sources. Things like the price of oranges in Paris telling you whether the railway bridges had been bombed or not. Okay, and he tried that. Hasn't been successful, but it remains valid. Where I think we need to go, and where all these collective intelligence guys, if you Google on collective intelligence, you'll find everybody other than Robert Steele. There are at least eight different bottom-up, self-generating groups that I think are very important. We need to move toward being a smart nation. A smart nation is a nation in which every one of us is an intelligence minuteman. Every one of us understands the process of intelligence. We know how to apply it to our work, whether it's art history or defending the neighborhood. We know how to do this. Now, some of the failures that we've had in intelligence, and by the way, I have to tell you with all earnestness, given a choice between incompetence and conspiracy, always go with incompetence. Okay? And believe me, it is incompetence is vastly more likely in the U.S. government. And let me say on a positive note, this is a great country. You're smart people. We can survive massive amounts of incompetence in Washington. Although I am getting worried. We have basically ignored open source information. I was hired by one branch of the U.S. government to go out and evaluate and monitor terrorist insurgent opposition websites because they weren't satisfied with what the national intelligence people were doing. In less than 60 days, for under $60,000, we identified and evaluated 396 terrorist insurgent opposition websites in 29 languages, including Gaelic, Catalan, Urdu, Farsi, all those normal ones. The only two languages we didn't do that we wish we had were Berber and Aramaic. Okay? I have a secret. I'll share it with you. I don't insist that my translators be U.S. citizens eligible for clearances who speak the language at a shitty level. I go for indigenous people that speak their own language at English at a 4 or 5 level on a scale of 5. And I use various cover mechanisms to have them work successfully for what they think is a European company concerned about risk. Okay? This is not hard. If I can do it, why can't CIA? Now, I got to say, CIA is doing some things right. And we will have a 3-hour discussion. But we need OSINT. We don't do non-official cover. Jim Pavitt screwed this country. As director of clandestine operations. He and a guy named Ted Price and several directors, Tenet, Deutsch, Woolsey, mediocrities, every single one of them, going back to Stansfield Turner, who gutted the clandestine intelligence service, firing all of the ethnics. We used to have a clandestine service that looked like the United Nations. I mean, we're talking turban Sikhs, the whole nine yards. And then we started going for white boys from Kansas. And young white boys from Kansas. CIA doesn't hire anyone over 35. I've done a press release. If you Google for clandestine service and Robert Steele, you'll probably see, and it's got my 5-part solution. But we have been lazy and cheap. You cannot do clandestine operations from an official installation that has local guards that work for the local counterintelligence service. You just can't do it. Okay? And you're in dreamland if you think you can. We don't do a processing. the National Imagery and Mapping Agency, and by the way, now that it's called the National Geospatial Agency, NEMA stands for Not Interested in Maps Anymore. Okay, Jim Clapper has gone way over the top on digital. One laptop for every 500,000 people. That was what he sent to NATO for Bosnia. The NEMA report in December 1999 said essentially, we have spent trillions on collection and nothing on processing. We process less than 10% of our secret images, less than 6% of our Russian and Chinese signals, less than 3% of our European signals, less than 1% of our rest of world signals. We process roughly a million out of several billions of intercepted calls on a daily basis. And by processing, I mean some form of cursory examination. Okay, the reality is that when something like 9/11 happens, we're usually about 30 days late in processing it. We miss it completely. And our people don't speak Arabic beyond the 3-level, by and large. We don't have data standards. I believe in open spectrum, open source software, and open source intelligence. We don't have geospatial attributes. In 1988, I told the General Defense Intelligence Program managers, of which I was one for the Marine Corps, I said, fellas, we're not going to get to automated all-source fusion until we have both a time-date stamp and a geospatial stamp. This is not hard to understand. But today, in the 21st century, we are still not doing geospatial tagging of all of the information that we're collecting worldwide. This is just flat-out nuts.